Matthew chapter 18 tonight. We have a text tonight that I hope is familiar to you. We won't be staying here. We'll be using our Bibles a good bit tonight. But I want us to notice the plea for patience. In this passage, we'll find a similarly worded phrase two times, and I want you to really take note of that. Please follow along with me as I begin reading in verse 21, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith unto him, 'I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, your word reminds us of what exactly this flesh is. Father, if we were left to ourselves, if we were left to man's wisdom to search our own hearts and discern what the flesh is, Father, we would somehow come up with something that was good. Maybe a little broken, a little twisted, but good. And Father, as we look into your word, we see how disgusting and rotten and vile this flesh is. Father, that's why you had to give us a new spirit. To make us new in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that each one of us, Father, would choose by the power of your grace to walk in the Spirit. To let your Spirit flow through us and to let the fruits of the Spirit be manifested in our lives. Father, may we yield ourselves to your control. I pray that your Spirit would fill me and use me in this hour as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in this parable, Jesus is answering Peter's question about forgiveness. And we won't take time to examine this parable from that particular perspective. But Jesus responds with a statement. No, not seven times. It's more like 70 times seven. And he goes on to tell a story, a parable. And in this parable, of course, I hope you caught the different characters and their representations. The king here is God the Father. And he is going to reckon with his servants. And certainly the king will reckon with his servants. And the Bible tells us we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And the Bible tells us of a debt that was really, for all practical purposes, incalculable. 10,000 talents, and talent being a weight of about 1,000 pounds of gold. This really 10,000. It really would represent more money than probably was in that entire region of the world at that particular time. It was a debt that was unrepayable. But notice this servant. He was going to do his best. He said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And of course, the Bible tells us that because of this request for mercy, that the king has mercy on his servant. And then we're supposed to specifically notice what that servant did to one of his fellow servants. For the Bible says 100 pence. You know, that would be like, as far as comparing debts, comparing a dollar bill to a bar of gold. You know, the debts really are of no comparison. And the Bible says that this servant who had been forgiven of so much took his fellow servant by the throat and was being very exacting with that debt and had his fellow servant thrown in debtor's prison. And of course, the Bible tells us that the king heard about it and the king took all of that injustice and all of that unforgiveness and made those wrongs right. But the phrase I wanted to point out is that phrase where each servant asks for patience. "Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all." You know, certainly that every single one of us who understands God and eternity and sin desires patience. We want nothing more than for God to have patience on us. We want nothing more than for God to have mercy upon us. And tonight I want to point out some of the problems with impatience. You know, this matter of patience, impatience is simply just not being patient. The word impatient is not a word that is found in the Bible, but the word patience, of course, found many, many different times in many different places. And the word that is translated patience in our New Testament comes from two different Greek words. One of them is also translated as enduring, and the other is also translated as long suffering. And so to give us kind of an idea of what the word patience means, one of those words means to suffer under, the other means to suffer long. So we get a little bit of an idea of what patience means. I came across this definition several years ago, and I've shared it on several occasions, but patience is simply this: accepting a difficult situation from God without giving Him a deadline to remove it. You see, this impatience that we see here in this passage, the impatience of that servant, this impatience would be refusing to accept a difficult situation. It would be fighting God about those circumstances, getting upset and angry with God or giving God ultimatums. We see from this parable that in the life of this servant, where there is a refusal to be patient, where there's a refusal to accept that difficult situation, a refusal to bear up under those difficulties, there are so many different sins. There's pride. There's rashness, there's anger, there's injustice, there's unforgiveness, there's a lack of mercy. And you see, this is so important that we understand the problems that come with impatience. Now, before we get into the message any further, I do want to point out something about this matter of patience. We want to be patient people. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, but there's something we need to know. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. As we speak about this matter of patience, I want us to understand one thing that patience is not, and that is simply this: patience is not a tolerance for evil. We see this borne out in a couple of places in Scripture. one of those places right here in Revelation chapter 2 in this letter to the church at Ephesus. Look at verse 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy labor, and thy, what's that word? Patience. Notice this next phrase. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You see, while the Lord is commending this church at Ephesus, he says, I know your patience, among other things. And he says, in patience, that does not mean that you have allowed that evil. You can't bear them which are evil. You have proven their works. You have put them to the test. You have found them to be liars. You have cast that off. You see, and while the church at Ephesus was a patient church, they had no patience for evil. You see, and that's an important distinction that must be made, because this is a message that the church in America today needs. Because there's this idea that prevails that being patient means that we tolerate sin. You know, recently, a publication, Christianity Today, posted this troubling statement. They said, when it comes to gendered language, these Christian leaders agree on three things. Everything is changing so fast. We're figuring it out together, and we should give each other grace. Think about that. Okay? Now, our culture is changing. But see, the Word of God does not change. And God is the one who defines what is right and what is wrong. And so we don't need to figure it out together, okay, as Christianity Today claims. You see, we only need to look back to the Word of God and on the authority of Scripture, we can stand up and we can speak clearly to the issues of today. And you see, this idea of patience is not a tolerance for evil. Okay, another verse. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering. That word long suffering is also translated as patience. He is long suffering to usward. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that, do you know it? All should come to repentance. You see this long suffering, this patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that he even tarries in his coming is to give us space to repent. His long suffering, his patience, is not a tolerance of evil. And he's not accepting of the evil that is in the world today. He's giving us space for repentance. And so when it comes to this matter of patience, I want to remind us that this impatience is not a patience is not a tolerance of evil. Just a few thoughts about patience tonight and the problems that are associated with patience. Number one, impatience produces the evil fruits of anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Of course, we see that borne out in the parable that Jesus told about this servant who was impatient. This servant who would not give his fellow servant mercy, would not give him time to come up with the debt. And we see the anger and the bitterness, the unforgiveness in this impatient man. But I want us to see it here in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at verse 19 with me, if you would, please. James chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20, would you read it with me? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Boy, I love that verse there, verse 20. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And it was a good day when I grasped the truth of that verse. You cannot do anything for good. You cannot accomplish anything spiritual. You cannot accomplish anything of eternal value with an angry spirit. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, but in verse 19 it says, let every man be swift to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. See, the problem is that in our flesh, we're slow to hear, and we're swift to speak, and we're swift to wrath. You see, but to have this impatience, it breeds this anger, it breeds this wrath. You see, I want to remind us that if we are going to be patient, patience and anger go together like oil and water. They really don't mix. You know, patient people are seldom angry. Impatient people, often angry. A good example of this, of course, is King Saul. Impatient and harsh and unjust. And, you know, even once he publicly demanded the public execution of his own son for committing the crime of eating honey. Do you remember the story? You see, you know, and angry and harsh and impatient and you know, as we look at this, the wrath of man, and you know, it's significant that, you know, as we find this anger and wrath as it's mentioned in Scripture, you know, it's associated with men. You know, the angry people that we find in the Bible are men, and you know, there's other weaknesses, of course, the Bible addresses for ladies, but anger isn't usually one of them. But impatience produces the evil fruits of anger and unforgiveness and wrath. Let me say this secondly. Impatience is rooted in pride. You don't need to turn there. If you want to write it down, go ahead. But I'm going to listen as I read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Let me say that again. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You see, you know, this patient in spirit, okay? And, you know, it's interesting that patience is being contrasted with pride. You see, and you could see it, if patience, as I used for a working definition tonight, accepting a difficult situation from God without giving Him a deadline to remove it, then it's easy to see how a patient spirit is also a humble spirit. And the opposite of a humble spirit, of course, is a proud spirit. See, you can be a humble spirit and accept those difficulties that God brings into our lives, and of course through different avenues and different ways, but those difficult circumstances are brought into our life, and or we can be humble and receive those, or we can be proud. And we can say things like, "Why does this always happen to me? You know, what did I do to deserve this? Why do I have to put up with this? Why me? Not again." You see, you know, Solomon, as he writes, he says the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Let me share this next. Number three, impatience shows a lack of true love. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, we were there this morning. And in this passage, as Paul begins to speak about this fruit of the Spirit, love, and how the gifts of the Spirit must be done in the fruit of the Spirit or by the fruit of the Spirit, he tells us that a life without love is meaningless. And we got to preach a little bit about that this morning. And I don't want to take time again to read the first three verses, though I do believe it would help us. But here in verse 4, the apostle begins to define this charity, this biblical love. And I want us to notice, as Paul has spent three verses now leading up to the meaninglessness of life, of the expression of spiritual gifts without love, we get to verse 4, and he gives in the next four verses multiple definitions, multiple explanations of biblical love. And notice, I want us to notice the very first definition the apostle gives. Say those first three words of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Ready? Charity suffereth. Let's say that again. Charity suffereth long. You see, impatience, a refusal to suffer long, is indicative of a lack of true love, biblical love, God's love. Because true love is patient. True love suffers long. You see, I want to take just a moment and make a very practical application to our homes. And again, I want to remind us that patience is not a toleration of sin, okay? But patience is accepting a difficult situation. You see, and the Bible tells us, the Bible commands us as parents to train up a child. Do you know the verse? Can you say it with me? Train up a child in the way he should go. You see, and it's important that we understand that because children, they don't need to be told, they need to be trained. And yes, training involves telling, it involves teaching, but so much more to training than just telling. And what children need, okay, is not impatience or anger. What children need is love. See, this impatience, this frustration, this anger is not going to help a child grow and mature. You see, and again, we need to make that distinction that the patience is not a toleration of sin, but this impatience, as it lends itself to anger, is not an expression of true love as God has loved us. The Bible says in Psalm 103, in verse 13, the Bible says this, listen as I read it, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are, does anybody know it? Dust. Dust. You see, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. You know, it's interesting, the Bible doesn't say the Lord, as a father, loves his children, so the Lord loves us. No. The Bible says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Now, certainly, a father loves his children. A good father loves his children. A father wants his children to be around and enjoys that time with them. But it doesn't, it says, as a father pitieth. You know, pity comes from the same root or the same idea as compassion. And pity, here's a definition of pity, the feeling in one person caused by the distress of another. It's compassion. It is fellow suffering. Now, the Bible says that the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now, the next verse tells us how and why the Lord is able to do that. You see, why? How is God able to pity us? Because he remembers what we are. He remembers that we're dust. You see, God doesn't imagine us, well, to be like him. Well, you know, I mean, I saved him and I put my spirit inside of him and I gave him my word. Why hasn't he figured this? No. He remembers that we are dust. You see, and I want to remind us that that's where that pity comes from. You see, if you're going to be patient with your children, you're going to have to remember what they are. You're going to have to remember that, you know, they're not, you know, as skilled as you. And maybe, you know, you've forgotten a little bit of what it was like to be a child. And you need to take that time. And you need to remember who and what they are. You need to know their frame. You see, it's so easy in our pride to expect everyone to live up to our exacting standards. You know, we can't expect a four-year-old to have the same skill as a 40-year-old when handling a cup of milk. You see, you know, this impatience can easily and readily manifest itself when dealing with children. You know, I think that of the disciples, impatient with children. You know, it's so easy for impatient men to be impatient with those who are weak, those who are the least of these. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says this. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Well, I love that. Don't you love that? The patience of our Savior. You know, one of the clearest examples of patience for us is it's the patience that Jesus showed to his disciples. And contrast that with the impatience that the disciples showed towards these children and those that brought him. You know, and boy, as I studied through this, boy, this convicted me. You know, notice again what the Bible says here in verse 14. Look at verse 14. When Jesus saw it, he was what? Much. Say those next two words with me. Ready? He was much displeased. And so he berated his disciples. No, that's not what it says. Okay? So he scolded them. No, being much displeased, what does Jesus say? Hey, fellas, let those kids through. Suffer the little children to come unto me. He didn't respond to his disciples in anger, though it, certainly as we see it, it would have been justifiable. You see, he was patient with his disciples. Now, he didn't tolerate their sin, okay? But he tells them, allow the children, suffer the children to come unto me. And then what does he do? Then he instructs his disciples. He says, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And the humility of a child is a tremendous, tremendous touchstone for all of us. And he says, listen, you've got to humble yourself. You cannot be proud. And these little children, they want to come to me. They've been told that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And he receives them and he blesses them. He corrects the thinking of his disciples. And I think about the patience that Jesus demonstrated with his own disciples. You know, again and again, he would tell them something and the disciples would forget. And then he would have to, they would ignore it. And then he would have to teach them again. And then they would ask him about it. And Jesus would have to teach them again. And the patience that Jesus showed with his disciples, yes, in this passage, but all through the Gospels. You know, G.W. Truett, a preacher of a century ago, had this to say about the patience of our Savior. See Jesus' patience with the people who pressed upon him from every quarter for his help. Wherever he went, the multitudes followed him and found him. He could not be hid. Toward all who thus sought his help, he was infinitely patient. The most beautiful portrait given of Jesus in the New Testament is in the five words, he went about doing good. This constant attitude toward the people was that of overflowing helpfulness, graciousness, and kindness. Active helpfulness towards others marked all the earthly steps of Jesus. The patience toward his foes was even more wonderful. They sought to circumvent his plans, to frustrate his work, and whichever way he went, patience was on them. And his patience was undimmed and undiminished through it all. Nor was his patience the patience of weakness. He reminded his opposers that he could call upon his Father and summon more than 12 legions of angels to come to his aid should he so desire. His patience was not because he was weak. To do so would simply be out of harmony with his plans. Nor was his patience the patience of stoicism. Stoicism is acting without feeling. There was never another as sensitive as he was. Nor one who felt so keenly the sins of earth. Nor was his patience the patience of sullenness. that like some savage who bears torture in grim silence, never in all the world has any before or since shown the patience so gracious and so gentle and so enduring. He prayed for his murderers. He gave back gentle answers to the most cruel words. Then he endured his lonely, cruel cross and died for us all. Mark also his patience with his work. He saw a few visible results with his work while he was here in the flesh. He was a sower more than a reaper. Great multitudes followed him at first, but under his winnowing words, they kept falling away from him. Till one day he puts the surprisingly pathetic question to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Still, he never faltered, but went steadily on, unwavering and undiscouraged. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged." Jesus was patient, and I'm so thankful he was patient. Patient with his disciples and patient with me. Let me say this next. Another problem with impatience is impatience cuts you off from the blessings that follow patience. Take your Bibles and turn back to the book of James. James. So often in Scripture, patience is mentioned in connection with a work that God is doing in the life of a believer. You see, and to be impatient, to not allow God to finish, to accomplish His work, would simply be to cut ourselves off from the blessings that God has for us. Notice here, James chapter 5, many, many verses here about this matter of patience. But look at verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." You know, the farmer is given to us as an example of patience. You know, in order for him to receive those fruits, in order for him to receive those blessings, he must be patient. You know, I got to thinking about all the things that we accomplish, and so much of what we do is a process. And it's got to be done in steps. And sometimes there has to be a delay, and things have to take place in between those steps. And we have to be patient. We have to be patient. This impatience cuts you off from the blessings that God has. Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And see, I want to remind us that impatience cuts us off there. You know, that tribulation worketh, and there's no patience because of our own impatience, and all the blessings that follow are cut off. Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope." Our hope that comes because of our patience. But you see, the problems that arise when we're impatient. Colossians 1:11, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." You see, the joy that comes through being patient. James chapter 1, you're here in James. Flip over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look at verse 3. Another time, patience is mentioned in a connection with God's work, this process. Verse 3, "Knowing this," verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work." Listen, dear brother, dear sister, let patience have her perfect work in your life. God is at work, and you and I need to be patient, because impatience, if you're going to be impatient, it stops right here. You see, let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And he goes on to speak about this prayer for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see how important it is we understand that God is at work in our own personal spiritual growth is a process. And God is at work in our life, and our impatience cuts us off from the blessings that follow. See, impatience guarantees an increase in trials and testings. You know, the trying of your faith, look at verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. You know, one preacher, I like what he said, patience is not an elective in God's curriculum. You're going to have to learn patience. You see, if you fail the test, if you're impatient and patience is not able to have her perfect work, you see, God is going to take you around and send you through that course again. You're going to have to take that test again. You know, I remember years ago as a young adult hearing a Christian who had been saved, I thought, for some time, say, don't ever pray for patience. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. And, you know, I remember being confused. You know, why? And of course, it's supposed to be a little bit tongue in cheek, but don't pray for patience because you're not going to like how God gives you patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And what a foolish view of God. You know that God is going to stick to you because you asked for something in the wrong way. God wants you to learn patience, and God's not going to give you trials because you ask for it. God's going to give you trials because you need it, because He knows what's best for you, and He loves you, and He is going to bring you through this process of patience so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, this impatience keeps you from spiritual maturity. And it keeps you from God accomplishing His work and His purpose in your life. You know, this impatience stops the production of godly fruit in your life. Luke chapter 21, verse 19, we find a verse that a little bit unusual. It says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now, I tried finding out a little bit more about what this verse could mean. I like what John Wesley said about this verse. He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. Be calm and serene. Masters of your spirit, superior to all irrational and disquieting passions, by keeping the government of your spirit, you will both avoid much misery and guard the better against all dangers. You know, here in James, we read that the farmer has to be patient. You see, if the farmer is not going to be patient, he's not going to wait for the garden, for the crops, it's not going to bear fruit. And I want to remind you, if your life is going to bear fruit, you must be patient. You see, I want to remind you, if your marriage is going to bear fruit, that's going to require patience on your part. You see, all the labor, all the faithful obedience to the truths, the principles of the Word of God, you apply those and you faithfully do your part, obeying the Word of God, and then you're patient, waiting for God to work, waiting for God to do what only He can do, and to make that marriage strong, or to heal that marriage, and to allow that marriage to bear godly fruit. You know, if you're going to see your parenting bear fruit, you work diligently. And teach and train to apply, as the Bible says, the wisdom of the rod and the reproof, and you work diligently, and you wait patiently, and while you wait patiently, you keep working diligently, and the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You see, the fruit that comes from that, you must be patient. You see, even as Jesus has commanded us to go and to make disciples, you see, I want to remind us that the mature Christians, strong Christians, they're not made overnight.
You know, a man is not going to give his heart to Jesus Christ and by faith receive him and just instantly be a mature Christian. There is a process. There is a growth that must take place, and it requires patience. I knew I was preaching this message, but had no idea I would have this illustration. 7:45, my phone buzzed, and picked up my phone, and the message was simple. Pastor, are you busy? Do you have a minute for a call? I thought, no, I don't have a minute for a call. I'm running a little behind here, but the text was from a fellow that used to attend here, whose life has since moved him on. And so we talked, and Pastor, I'm getting it. I'm getting all those years you tried to teach me, and it's finally clicking. And then he said, you ready? Thank you for being patient with me. You see, it takes patience. Jesus was patient, and it requires patience on our part. So I want to ask you tonight, are you pursuing patience? Are you pursuing patience, or are you pursuing impatience? One more scripture tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One more scripture and we'll be done. 1 Paul here in this passage is warning Timothy about the trap, the snare of covetousness. In verse 6 he says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Patient. But they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You know, Paul here is warning Timothy against covetousness. What is covetousness? Well, let me say it this way. It is impatience concerning material possessions. You see, I want it, and I want it now, so I'm going to start scheming as to how I can get it. I want to figure out how I can have it. I'm not going to wait for God to give it to me. I'm going to figure out how I can get it for myself. You see, and I want to remind us, as Paul reminded young Timothy, he says, you got to run from that. You've got to flee from that. You can't follow that. You can't be like the rest of our world on that broad path that leads to destruction, living for material possessions. He said, but thou, verse 11, O man of God, flee these things. You see, the company, I want to remind us, the company that impatience keeps: anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and wrath. Paul says, Timothy, you've got to run from that. And he said, instead, you have to follow after, among other things, patience. Did you see the company that patience? We've talked about the company that impatience keeps. Did you see the company patience keeps? Look at it again. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, say it with me, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Well, all of those things together. See, to follow after, to pursue, run from impatience. Run from that anger. Run from that it has to be your way, and it has to be right now. That manifestation of pride in your life. And he said, instead, pursue humility, meekness, and godliness, and faith, and true love, agape love, love that suffers long and patience. See, I want to ask you, what are you pursuing? What are you following after? Are you following after impatience and the company that impatience keeps? Are you following after patience and godliness and love and meekness? Oh, listen, my friend, if you don't want it, if you don't want patience, you'll never learn it. If you don't want it, as God brings about the various circumstances and trials that come into your life that are to teach you patience. And as we read there, James chapter 1, verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And you'll never learn from those trials. And you'll never be able to move on to the next course, if you will. You see, God has patience that He wants you to learn, but you must desire that patience to be formed in your life. Clarence Sexton, the pastor of Temple Baptist Church, who recently went home to be with the Lord, he would often pray that as he would go through these various trials, whether they're ministry trials or personal trials, the health battles that he would face, he would often pray that he would not miss what God was trying to teach him through those trials. See, thou, O man of God, flee. Flee anger, flee covetousness, flee impatience, flee being unforgiving and unmerciful, flee bitterness and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.